massive intro.
Yeah.
We're recording now. Thank you very much for coming on. It's literally, there's no point doing...
Just get started.
Why wait? Welcome to Into the Wild. Thanks for tuning back in. It's been a nice 4-week break for us, but we're back with episode 6 of series 2 called F is 4, and I'm joined by two guests. This is actually a really nice group. Not that the others haven't been, but this is really nice because...
This is the nicest.
It's just a catch-up, really, between me, you... I won't say.
We'll have to guess.
It's just a nice catch up.
Listeners,
me, you.
I've actually sat in a room on my own. My two guests on F is 4 are comedians Esther Benito and David Mills. Thank you very much for joining me.
Hey,
nice to meet you.
Esther, lovely to see you. How are things? Although we have just caught up a bit about what's been going on.
Just recap the bullet points.
But what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Just been gigging, mate. That's what I've been doing.
I like, for the listeners, I like your scarf. It's very... Esther's wearing like a flannel scarf.
What do we call this?
This is called a kaffir.
A kaffir, yes.
Sorry, did I just cheapen it by saying a flannel scarf?
Yes, you did. You might as well just call me a raghead.
It's like a traditional...
This is a traditional Arabic scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I feel like shit now.
Yeah, well...
I just whitewashed it.
I mean, you are essentially just a massive racist.
But kaffirs, they've always been in style, kaffirs.
They're always cool. But they're very warm.
Cool. Yeah.
I didn't recognise it because of the way you wear it. Is that how you wear it traditionally?
This is how you wear it, yeah.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Now you
wear it like that. Yeah. And then this is all pointless for a podcast, but she looks great. I won't describe what just happened. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It's nice to see you. David Mills,
hey,
lovely to see you.
I'm happy to be here.
We last saw each other. We went to the theatre.
We did, didn't we? We saw Dickie Bow in Something on Fire, Something in Flames, Botticelli in Flames.
It was amazing.
It was great.
You weren't invited, Esther. It was quite high class.
Very exclusive.
We had whiskey and we sat and enjoyed the theatre.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Okay, I didn't go to the theatre.
Yeah, but this was in Hampstead. This was in Hampstead.
Yeah. And it was, but we only got, you know, where because...
That sounds so common.
We only went because I happened to know the guy who was in it. As you do, you know, my dear. And he was amazing, and it was really good.
It was a really good show. It took me, because I had no expectations.
Because theatre can regularly be shit.
But also, it's quite nice to go to the theatre, because there's no pressure. You don't have to laugh. You're not sat there, knowing the comedian on the stage.
Yeah.
To all the actors listening.
Grim. Plays don't matter.
Plays don't matter, you don't have any pressure.
It was good fun, though.
It was great.
But what I've mostly been enjoying with you is our little relationship online about country music.
We have been talking about
that. I'm always doing a deep dive into country music.
Oh,
and
country.
This one of late has sort
really
of found
it.
I love country.
And we've been really connecting on Dottie West.
John Denver. I bought myself a John Denver album.
I love John Denver.
And it was the Back Home Again album.
Sure.
It was absolutely
good. Fill up my senses.
Oh, it's just such a...
I would absolutely love to go to the country and western... Country and what?
Are you sure you don't want another
The Grand Ole Opry?
No, the awards.
The CMAs.
Yes.
CMAs.
Well, you know what
country
you must
music
do?
Music awards, that's what I want.
You know what we should do? Actually, my friend runs this big country music festival that happens every year somewhere outside of London. I don't know the regions.
Is that the one that you came back from? And then we did that weird dog referendum.
Yes.
Referendum.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you
do
the referendum as well?
Me and David did.
Yes.
I'm sorry, were you not?
No, I did the parade.
We did another bit for it. Anyway, he runs his big festival every autumn, post-Edinburgh time in September, and lots of big country acts come to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called the Long Road Festival.
Oh, my God, I'm going.
Can we go?
It's totally great.
What time are you?
September time. Like,
mid to late. We all have money offered. Well, let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll be loaded.
Yeah, loaded. Yes. That's what we'll do.
It's 4,000
loaded. Yeah. Can't wait to go up to Edinburgh and make all that money. Yeah.
I would be well up for going to that.
Yeah, it's great fun. It's great fun. And
nice.
Lots of like up and coming bands you've never heard of. But they make it really, and you know, people really get it. It's basically cosplay. You know what I mean?
You get to wear the outfit.
Oh my God, people are in the like.
Oh, I have to show.
It's
tight,
a sexy
tight jeans
outfit,
and a big belt buckle.
Oh, it's a sexy outfit.
And
the Stetsons.
The Stetsons,
oh.
All of it. All of it. People really going for it.
Oh,
I got a new Western shirt on the weekend in Edinburgh because the vintage clothing in Edinburgh is cheap.
Yeah.
And they do
and
really
good
Western wear. And
what, can I ask a question? What's the difference between vintage and just secondhand?
Well, they can be. It's handy. The price, yeah.
I just thought it's vintage. I'm like, isn't
well,
that
it's, if it,
charity
shirt? Well, no, because secondhand could be a shirt from last year. So vintage means. You can have vintage. All
right.
Vintage is secondhand.
Yeah.
Or
vintage.
Not so.
Or not necessarily.
Vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You wear vintage and you wash out your tea bags. We get it, right? Okay. We get it.
I'm trying to help the planet.
Okay.
One shirt at a time. Right, let's move. So we're going to talk about our three animals. Let's go into this. We'll go to our first animal now. Okay, our first animal, beginning with F. Do you want to guess?
Frog.
No.
Oh.
Do you want to guess? Frogs are too generic. Like, there's so many species.
Oh, is it quite a unique animal?
Together Fielding.
It's a bird. There's a type of bird.
Flamingo!
We're talking about flamingos. So they're a type of wading bird, which means they live in shallow water. There's four species around the Americas, including the Caribbean, and there's two species that live in Africa, Asia, and Europe. When we talk about those two areas, Old World is Africa and Asia, New World is South America kind of area. So the Old World, Greater and Lesser Flamingo, and the New World is a Chilean flamingo, James's flamingo, no idea who James is, I didn't say, the Andean, and then the American flamingo. That's your types of flamingos.
Yeah, right.
There's four types.
There's six species, four in... There is a test at the end, Esther.
That's a lot of information to digest.
About flamingos.
Yeah.
I mean,
six types.
If you're finding that bit bulky for information, strap yourself in.
Get ready.
Because that was probably the easiest part.
Okay, so there's six types of flamingos.
There's six types.
Which one's the neon one?
So, the ones in Africa, I think, tend to be more pink.
Yeah, but the ones you always see, like, I always think of flamingos as like a neon sign. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my mind, like, a flamingo is like a 1980s logo, basically.
That's true.
You know? Very Miami Vice.
Very pink.
Very
are
pink.
They different colours? Do you get white flamingos?
You do, yeah. It's based on their food. So basically, they get their, which we do go into a bit more in a minute, but the food they eat gives off a certain chemical, mainly comes from algae, and then it gives them more of a pinkish coloration. So the flamingos that are eating more of that style of food will be a more pink colour.
You see, that's interesting. You think about, like, animals are always trying to camouflage themselves, right?
Yeah.
But flamingos are not doing a great job when it comes
not
to that,
really.
Are they? And if they have any predators, they're kind of...
It's a ballsy move, though.
It's ballsy.
To be
it's
neon
ballsy.
Pink.
Yeah.
In
they're
Africa.
Essentially...
What a great idea, you know what I mean? Fabulous.
I remember, like, someone put a picture on of a man getting on the tube last year, and it was, you know, when we had that heat wave, and he got onto the tube in nothing but flip-flops and a banana hammock.
Mm.
So he's kind of like a flamingo.
Yeah,
you're
he's saying...
You're attracting...
Yeah.
You're really standing out.
You just sit there on one leg. Just real ballsy move.
Real ballsy.
We'll talk about that, actually, because flamingos are famously known for standing on one leg, but the reason is kind of unknown. No one knows why they do it.
Do they look great?
Yeah, maybe they just want to constantly stand
great.
Out.
If you had legs like
that.
A flamingo...
Show
them off.
You are pre-flamingo. But you do... But you would. If you had this tiny body that was like podgy and pink, you'd be like, don't draw attention to that. What can I do to draw attention
slender pin
to
of a
my
leg.
What can I do to draw attention to my leg? I know.
Well, there's one theory of standing on one leg allows the birds to conserve more body heat, but that doesn't make sense to the ones that live in like Africa, where it is very
or
stand in warm
right?
water. Obviously, there's certain parts where they live do get very cold, so maybe that's the reason.
It's
South
kind of like a yoga pose, isn't it?
Maybe they're meditating.
Maybe that's
they're just really
from.
Chilled out, and that's why they don't get attacked.
I mean, what's amazing thing is they've survived all this, because they seem so vulnerable, you know? Like, anyone can, like an alligator or crocodile could take them down so
maybe
quick.
They're also
crazy.
A lot bigger than you think. I think when we think of flamingos, we think maybe just like, you know, 3 or 4 foot, but they can get, but they've got a very large wingspan. Which I will find out the actual number in a minute, but they are quite big and
do they swim?
Stand in water. So
do they swim?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, I don't. The feet are partially.
My son used to call them swimmingos.
Well, they are webbed.
Swinging.
Swimmingos.
Swimmingos.
Yeah,
that's
swimmingos.
Cute. But they're a little bit like they got to be in sort of the ostrich family, right? Maybe.
No, because they're the wading. So ostriches are land based. Flamingos are wading birds, so they'll be in water and they got webbed feet. Yeah,
right.
But they fly very well.
So
they're as
like
well.
Ducks, just like really tall ducks.
I love the way I keep saying what family of animals are in. You go no, but they're more like you just list another family of that bird. But they're more like centipedes, really, when you look at the other reason
I think
that
we've
people
established they're more like men on the tube wearing nothing but banana hammock.
That one guy in the banana hammock. The other reason why people think they stand on one leg is reduces energy. A study showed that one leg pose could be held without using any muscular activity, while flamingos demonstrated sustainably less body sway in one leg position. So it could be like conserving the energy.
But like me and David are sat here, legs crossed,
you
and
are?
That's really bad for your posture. It's really bad.
Is
for
it?
You. Yeah,
I thought that was just a myth.
No, it's terrible for you. So the fact that they're stood there like that, and we're going, oh, it's because of all these, like, you know, biological reasons. It may just be this, they just find it more comfy.
More comfy. Right? And, as I said, it looks dynamite. Cross your legs,
like,
it always looks
you
great,
cross
right?
You cross your legs to make your legs look slimmer. But
exactly.
Otherwise, you're just looking
at
thigh spread.
Because I was always told it's bad to cross your legs. But
it's
then
really
I thought that
bad.
Was just a
it fucks your posture up.
It's been great for me.
I mean, you carry
cross
it on,
my legs.
I mean, it's great your whole career.
In my entire career, cross my legs. Honestly. Totally. Crossing my legs and, you know, waving my hands around. That's the act. That's it. You know what I mean? And
throwing a few words. That is it.
There's not much more to it. Maybe a tie. Less and less all the time. The point is, those flamingos are fucking iconic, right? And the leg is part of it. The whole look.
Yeah.
That's why they've survived so long, because they look so dynamite.
Yeah. I was going to say something else. Do they have pink eyes?
No.
Okay. Alright. I thought they did. No. I always felt there was something very disturbing about looking into a flamingo's eyes.
Sorry, okay. When have you ever had the opportunity to stare head height at a flamingo in the eyes? It didn't happen. I didn't think
it's
so.
On the tube, actually, this summer.
It's David. When I said that, David's reaction was like, no, she's right.
There's something.
So when you're at the zoo and you look at a flamingo, like I think we think they're pretty.
They're gorgeous.
But
yeah.
When you look at them in the eye, there is a coldness there.
So you're saying that beauty isn't in the eye of the beholder?
I think that they are very much like, you know, beautiful people. When you look them in the eye,
you think they're
smart. They're dead behind the eyes.
There's a flicker.
You know they
of evil.
I think you're onto something there.
You know what? We were so well known for being a podcast that was held on high facts and.
There's something sinister.
That's the word
I'm
looking for.
Sinister.
I've really lost my vocabulary.
About.
They are, there is a sinister thing.
Yes.
I get the feeling that a flamingo, given the opportunity, would fuck you up.
Absolutely.
Right, back to flamingos.
Okay,
We said about them swimming in water, but they're very capable flyers as well. A pair of African flamingos that were captive, they hadn't had their wings clipped, which is a small bone you take out. It's quite horrible, but it means that birds can't. They can flap and fly up, but they can't fly away.
Mm.
Means you can give them better enclosures, but they can't escape, really. But a pair that hadn't been clipped in zoo in 2005, they escaped. And then when they were once spotted 14 years later in Texas... it had been seen previously by birders in Texas, Wisconsin, and Louisiana. Is that quite a distance away from
Kansas?
Yeah. So that's quite a distance to fly and end up 14 years later. Young flamingos, when they hatch,
running a gas station, were they?
They had started a small startup coffee
right,
company.
Yeah.
Assumed
identities. Right.
Young flamingos.
Flamingo. I'm an ostrich.
I
know nothing about Wichita. I've never been there.
Wearing a shirt with flamingos on.
Yeah.
Young flamingos when they hatch are greyish red plumage, but adults range from light pink to bright red due to the bacteria and better serotonin obtained from their food supply.
Much like the English.
Much like the English.
Similar colouring.
Oh,
yeah. A well-fed, healthy flamingo is more vibrantly coloured, thus more desirable mate. A white or pale flamingo, however, is usually unhealthy or malnourished.
Mm.
So it's a bit like peacocks.
Yeah, and people.
I wonder if they're in the peacock family somehow. Is that a possibility? Do peacocks wade in the water?
The male peacock has that whole plumage.
Yeah.
To say, look how vibrant and sexy I am.
But though does every bird. Every bird has a plumage to show off. To
pigeon.
I think.
Male pigeons have a very, like, they push out their plumage, a very bright colour.
Yeah,
you'll see the males going up.
Yeah, but no one's going, we went to see a beautiful pigeon. Like, people are going to look at flamingos and peacocks. No one cares about pigeons.
Doesn't mean they don't have...
They're not trying to attract humans, though.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Peacocks and flamingos are trying to attract humans. Pigeons are trying to attract each other.
Yeah.
See?
Hence the success of the pigeon.
Yes, exactly.
Pigeons
worldwide.
Like pigeons.
Yeah. The greater flamingo is the tallest of all six different species, standing at 3.9 to 4.7 feet tall. So quite tall.
Yeah,
that's quite tall. Word. And weighing up to about 3.5 kilos. The shortest flamingo species is the lesser. I mean, it's quite evident from the names, the greater and the lesser. Has a height of 2.6 feet and weighs only about 2.5 kilos. Flamingo's wingspan can be as small as 94 centimetres, but as long as 1.5 metres, which is quite big for a bird. Feeding, they're filter feeders.
What does that mean?
So it means that they...
That's how they get all the algae.
Yeah, so they...
Listen, David.
All right, hang on. All right. Are we still on flamingos?
They basically collect water and mud and they filter through any shrimp, small insects, stuff like that. And if you notice, their beak's actually upside down, it curves round. So they do it all upside down as they bend their neck around as well. Flamingos, like I said, filter feeders. They feed on brine shrimp, blue-green algae, as well as insect larvae, small insects, mollusks and crustaceans, which makes them omnivores and not insectivores. The bills are specifically adapted to separate mud and silt from the food they eat and are uniquely used upside down. The filtering of the food is assisted by hairy structures called laminae, which line the mandibles and the large, rough surface tongue. Like I said, the pink or the reddish colour of flamingos comes from the serotonins in the diet of the animal, plankton and algae. American flamingos are a brighter red colour because of the better carotene availability in the food. Typical Americans doing it better than anywhere else. Breeding, they're very social birds. Flamingos live in colonies whose populations can number in thousands. These large colonies are believed to serve three purposes for the flamingos. A, avoiding predators.
Mm.
So not obviously they stand out, but if you gather in large, you're less likely to be picked out. Maximising food intake and using scarcely suitable nesting sites for more efficiency.
What does that mean, maximising food intake?
I'm not too sure. I don't know
what
that is.
What seems so strange about that, they are like kind of big birds, and you see this in the animal kingdom all the time, like massive big animals. And then what do they eat? Like, oh, nuts and leaves and a few sort of scraps from the... And you think, how the fuck did something grow so big? Just eating a few mollusks
like
and sort of silt and stuff.
They form strong pair bonds, although larger colonies and flamingos sometimes change mates as well. And this is mainly because there's more availability to choose from. Flamingo pairs establish and defend nest territories. They locate suitable spots on mud flats to build a nest. The female usually selects the place and the male just joins. Copulation usually occurs during nest building as well. Both male and females contribute in building the nest and protecting the nest and the egg. And same-sex pairs have been reported in the flamingo world quite commonly as well. After the chicks hatch, the only parental expense is feeding. Both male and female feed their chicks from a kind of crop milk that is produced in the glands in the digestive tract. So interestingly, they don't just regurgitate, you know, like birds just regurgitate food. They actually produce a milk and we'll give that, which is quite interesting. There's a hormone that stimulates production. The milk contains fat, protein, and red and white blood cells. I don't know, that just sounded gross to me.
Mm.
They're doing all right number-wise. They're not endangered either.
Like them? I'm not sure.
I feel like you're really edgy around them.
Yeah.
Which is making me a bit edgy around them. I don't know.
I feel like there's not a sincerity there. I wouldn't trust one.
No, you wouldn't trust one, but... I mean,
no, they're too popular
is.
To trust.
They're just... I mean,
they're like the cool kids.
They will always be, flamingos will always be with us. Do you know what I mean? There's no
talk about them in your show.
They're in no danger. The flamingo. The flamingo is in the canon.
It needs to be. It needs to be on your show.
Might be. Might
do
be.
It.
Yeah,
I'll
good,
be
good
well. Yeah, I was going to say I'd be well up for seeing it.
Cool animals.
Very rude. Then I'll come and see the show.
Yes.
The
finally. Something.
Finally, Ryan.
Something
is
healing, and honey. Yeah. Cool in the animal kingdom.
So all you need to do now is we're going to score our flamingos out of 10. Let's move on to our next animal. Okay, the next animal we're going to talk about is completely different to a flamingo. I don't think you guys are going to like it at the top, but my aim is to make you like it by the end of talking about it.
Okay.
It's a type of spider. How do you guys feel about spiders?
Tarantula.
It's not a tarantula.
No.
Do you like spiders... And tarantulas, and how are you around?
I wouldn't hold one.
Okay.
That's but I don't dislike them.
Okay, that's good. What were you doing?
Yeah, I've got no time for spiders.
No time at all?
No time at all.
A field spider.
No. do you want me to tell you? Because there's a lot of types of spiders. And I did promise you an hour record,
okay,
max.
Right, yeah.
45 minutes later, the fizzled spider.
Have you seen that?
One of my favourites.
Have you seen that? Father Ted, when Mrs. Dawler's like, I'll guess your name. He's like, guess. And she's like, Father Lennon. Father Lennon. And he goes like, comes to 4 hours later and she's like, Father Tutti Frutti. Can I just tell you?
I haven't, but I do miss Father Ted. It's the funnel web spider. We're specifically going to be talking about
funnel web spider.
The old tales of the funnel web. Philip the funnel web spider.
Yes, that old chestnut.
We're specifically going to talk about the Sydney funnel web spider for reasons that will come in.
Oh, they're big though, aren't they?
No, they're not over. I mean, for funnel web spiders, yes, but in the spider and tarantula world, not.
In the Australian world, they're small.
Yeah, that's actually probably
creepy crawlers in Australia. They run that place.
So they're a species of venomous spider native to eastern Australia, usually found within 100 kilometres radius of Sydney. It's a member of the group of spiders known of the Australian funnel webs. Its bite is capable of causing serious illness and or even death in humans if left untreated. The Sydney funnel web spider is medium to large in size compared to spiders. Because tarantulas are a separate... You put them aside to spiders. So if we're looking at just spiders.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're a separate thing.
Tarantulas are a family of large spiders. So if you take tarantulas out of it, if we compare them to spiders, they're medium to large. And with body length ranging from 1.5 centimetres, both sexes are glossy and dark coloured, ranging from bluish black to brown and even dark plum in colour. That makes them sound a bit nicer, dark plum coloured. The carapace is, which is the abdomen area, is almost hairless and appears smooth and glossy. Another characteristic of this is the finger-like spirinades on the end of their abdomen, which is their silk glands. So it's their finger-like, which, yeah. For the listeners...
I like the smooth carapace. I can get behind that. But the finger-like appendages would terrify me a little bit.
I really tried to reword some of this. But the shorter-lived male is smaller than the female, but longer-legged, and the average leg length for the spider in general is 6 to 7 centimetres, which that is...
That's fucking huge!
That is quite big, isn't it? For legs. That is big, isn't it? I didn't think about that. Sorry. Should have warned you. So that's, wow, big is that? How much is big? I'm trying to think. That might be like a small dinner plate.
6 or 7.
Yes.
Like an espresso cup. Like
yeah.
on the plate.
Think about it. That's bigger than your hand.
Not my hand.
6 or 7 centimetres.
Yeah.
How long do you reckon that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's maybe 3.5.
I would say about 4 or 5.
Oh, is it?
So yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, maybe that is big.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said they weren't big enough. Just completely now. Turns out they're quite big.
Absolutely.
I love that. But for the listeners, I've got to tell you that Esther had to stand up and walk around the room because of
literally,
the size of the
spider.
Imagine
she sat on my feet.
Yeah, her feet are off the floor.
Distribution is centred in Sydney, like I said, extending north to Central Coast and west to the Blue Mountains of New South Wales as well. The spider prefers moist microhabits. That means it lives kind of under logs and foliage that is moist.
Can it jump?
Well, okay, we're going to talk about the hunting and you're probably not going to like it. Sydney funnel web spiders
that
are mostly they're mostly territorial, favouring habitats in moist sand and clays. They typically build a silk-lined tubular burrow, where the funnel web name comes from, and retreat with collapsed tunnels or open funnel entrances. So they'll actually build a trapdoor. They also the other name is called a trapdoor spider. So it will just be like a little lid there with the web going around the outside to trigger when prey comes. And then what will happen, a prey will walk past it or something like that, and it will kind of jump out, grab and pull back
in.
Oh
my God, terrifying.
So that's the kind of, it's very hard for me to describe that to the listeners, but if you imagine like a small tube, spider inside with a lid, and it will pop out, grab and pull down the tube. The long-lived female funnel web spider spends most of their time in the silk-lined tubular burrow. When potential prey includes insects, lizards, frogs, walk across the trap lines, they rush out, subducing their prey by injecting their venom. Their lethal dose of venom in humans is not known, but the lethal dose of venom from a male Sydney funnel web spider on a crab-eating macaque, which is another primate, is 0.2 milligrams per kilogram. So per kilogram of weight, it only takes 0.2 milligrams to kill that.
Oh my gosh.
It's very strong. Higher figures were found in other experimental animals, such as 1.5 milligrams per kilogram for two-day-old mice. The average venom yield for a male is 176 milligrams, which that's quite a lot.
That's
how much it holds, yeah. The Guinness World Records actually ranked the Sydney funnelweb spider as the world's most toxic, as the world's most venomous spider, defining the term most venomous as having the most venom, the most toxic venom for humans. But that title has been given to the Brazilian wandering spider as well.
What's the bit where you were going to try to persuade us to like them?
Yeah.
It was the Guinness World Record because they're the best of the best.
Of the worst.
Well,
the best
because
the worst.
Thing that makes you feel enamoured by an animal. I mean, we're sat here with like this adorable puppy under the. It's big eyes, cute, fluffy, something that's all like.
There has been no reported case of severe venomous bites by a female Sydney funnelweb, which is consistent in finding that the venom of female specimens is less potent.
Girls don't start wars.
Than the males. The case of the severe envenomation tends to onset of symptoms in less than an hour, with a study of Sydney funnelweb spider bites finding a medium of 28 minutes. The same study revealed that children are at particular risk of severe Sydney funnelweb spiders, with 42% of all cases being children.
Oof. Kids dragged down into that funnel.
Oh,
yeah,
God!
I'm not gonna win you round. I'm definitely not gonna win you round with this last sentence.
No, what is the last sentence?
There is at least one recorded case of a small child dying within 15 minutes of a bite of a funnelweb spider. Which, I mean, nothing can be done in 15 minutes. That was, yeah. So, I don't want to end it on that note, but that is literally the last
child
note.
Killers.
Child killers.
Child killers with massive
of
legs.
The animal world.
Yeah. Okay.
Very leggy so far this episode, isn't it?
It is. Flamingo.
Legs.
Yeah.
Legs.
legs.
Killer
legs. Well, okay. I think I've got a score mind.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, I have, but I feel like I want to bump mine up because I know. But I'm not. I'm going to give it my honest score. I'm going to show you a picture of a funnelweb spider.
Okay. Oh, God, they're awful. No. Oh, man.
That was super ugly.
Right, we're going to move on to our last animal of the podcast now. The last animal we're going to talk about, it's going to big up after the spider chat, I think you're going to realize. It's called the fin whale. So it's a type of whale.
Okay. Moving into the mammal world.
Back into the mammal, sorry. The fin whale, also known as the finback whale, or the herring whale, or the razorback whale, is a species of whale that is the second largest species of animal on Earth after the blue whale.
Oh.
The largest reportedly grow up to about 27.3 metres, which is about 90 foot long, which is incredible.
Yeah.
With the maximum confirmed, the maximum confirmed was 25 metres, which is about 85 foot. The maximum recorded weight was nearly 74 tonnes, and a maximum estimated weight of around 114 tonnes. There's an American naturalist called Roy Chapman Andrews, and he called the fin whale the greyhound of the sea for its beautiful slender body and is built like a racing yacht. And the animal can surpass the speed of the fastest ocean steamship back in the day.
Wow.
Which interestingly made it very hard and pointless for whalers to actually capture them until the invention of the speedboat. Because they can outswim the ships and they can also dive very quickly. So for a long time, whalers didn't go for them. But as soon as the speedboats and engine-powered boats came in, they kind of ruined that for them. I'm going to talk about the size a little bit because it does. They exist in every single ocean on the planet. So depending on where they live, the size does differ. So in the northern hemisphere, the average size of an adult is 18.5 to 20 meters, so about 60 foot. So actually quite a big, quite a bit smaller than the largest. In the North Atlantic, the longest recorded was 24 meters. In the North Pacific, 22 metres. In the Southern Hemisphere, it ranges from about 25 to 27 metres. So there's quite a range there. Mating, there's a bit about the baby here. This was my favourite fact, I think, of this episode, I can believe. Mating occurs in temperate low latitude seas during the winter, followed by 11 to 12 month gestation period. The newborn weans from its mother at 6 to 7 months of age when it is so it's 6-7 months of age, it is 11 to 12 meters long, so already 40 foot long.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's pretty similar to human children. So 6-7 months is when you kind of wean off.
Wean off, yeah. But I can believe
when they get about 40 feet long.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I'll need my children.
Well, yeah, I was 40 feet long when I weaned off. I can believe, I knew obviously they were going to be big, but that's half the size of their adult already, and they're only 6 months, and they live up to 100 years.
Do they?
Yeah. Rapidly grow.
Wow.
Yeah, that is, I
so maybe that's
that.
Why it's done. It's like just feed.
To get them ready.
And then it just sets you up for life.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the only real predator whales of this size have are killer whales, because they're group hunters. So they would probably predate on the young.
Yeah, because killer whales take down sharks as well.
They're such intelligent hunters. So the only real, apart from humans, obviously, the only one that would take down something like this is a killer whale. So I guess that's evolved the babies have to grow big and powerful quick and to be able to be a fast swimmer as well. Females reproduce every 2 to 3 years. And that's a big problem with whales because they're hunted so much, but they only produce one offspring every 2 to 3 years. So it's really hard for their numbers.
But for how long? If they live 100 years, how long are they producing children? Into their 80s, 90s, or into their 60s?
Well, they live up to about 94 years of age. There's specimens being found that's estimated to be about 140 years old.
Oh my God.
But I guess it depends on how healthy the animal is. If it's healthy enough to reproduce, and you can still...
But I wonder what's typical, though.
So physical maturity is attained at 25 to 30 years. So we guess from that, I'd say maybe would stop around 60?
Yeah.
That's an educated guess, maybe 60 to 70.
Sure.
But then there are some examples.
Imagine having a baby when you're 70.
Oh my God.
But if you live into 140.
Every 2 years as well. Yeah. So, you know, what is that like from 25 to 70? So
at least you're not hanging out with it. At least you're not got it for 18 years.
Yeah. It doesn't just answer back.
Oh my God.
The fin whale is one of the fastest of the whales. It can sustain speeds of up to 25 miles per hour. So 20 to 25. And can burst speeds of up to about 30 to 35 miles per hour. For waters, that is really fast as well. They often live in groups of 6 to 10 individuals, which is quite rare for these size of whales, although feeding groups may reach up to 100 animals. Imagine seeing that. That would be epic.
I've never seen a whale. I don't think I've ever seen a whale.
I have. I can't remember the speed. They were quite small, but I did see them. It was when I was in the Caribbean. It was incredible. Like, it was a real... You're waiting for it, because you wait for so long, and then it happens.
Did
and
it jump?
We saw one breach of water,
amazing.
And it was a pod of maybe 8 or 9 just
oh
swimming.
My God,
they weren't
amazing.
Huge, they were probably about orca size, so they were big, but nothing like...
I'm a bit kind of like sea fascinated. I'm really fascinated.
It terrifies me.
I don't love being on a boat, though, I'm going to be honest. Do you like being on boats?
I don't mind it. I've got a real water thing, but I'm really fascinated by water, so I don't mind being on a boat.
I don't
mind. You get boat sick.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, yeah, that'd be awful.
That'd be awful. Yeah. Big boats, you can go on big boats.
Sure, I can, and I've been on small boats as well, but I don't, it's not my preference.
It's not your thing.
Oh yeah, I've never quite. David Mills has been on a boat, I've never.
Of course I've been on a boat. Come on, I mean, please.
You used to be a cabaret singer back in the day.
Yeah, but I still am. What are you talking about? I'm trying to get gigs on boats, cruises. Sign me up, listeners. For your mothers and your fathers, the old grannies and grandpas, that's my audience. Cruise ship, are you kidding me?
I'm going to talk a little bit about whaling because it was interesting how it happened with these, like I said, with the boat. So in the 19th century, the fin whale was occasionally hunted by open boat whalers, but it was relatively safe because it could easily outrun the ships. And often, if it did kill them, they would sink before the boat could reach it. So it was a waste of time. There was no point in doing it. However, the later introduction of steam-powered boats and harpoons meant that people could kill them very easily. As with other whale species, it nearly became overhunted, and the whale industry turned to the fin whales. Other whales were overhunted, so they turned to the fin whale as a substitute. It was primarily hunted for its blubber, oil, and baleen. Around 400,000 fin whales were caught in the Antarctic whaling operations between 1904 and 1975. Which is quite a lot. There's protection for them now, so different areas of the world have started to set up protection for them. It's quite hard to list what level of endanger they are because they live throughout that entire ocean. What you tend to do is say they're endangered in this area or they're safe in this area because the numbers are so up and down. But they are listed on the IUCN, which is a big international union for conservation and nature, as vulnerable. but all whale species are, pretty much, because they're so widespread, you don't really know the numbers, and whaling is still going on around the world. So they're listed as vulnerable, but they are protected, and probably doing rather well due to their speed. So that's the fin whale.
Hey,
that was I like the whale.
So we're going to now score the fin whale. That just leaves us to add up our final scores and find out who the winner is for F is Four. Okay, Esther, how did you score the flamingo?
Eight.
Same here. I gave it an eight. What, yeah. Was there a reason, or did you just like?
I mean, it's just because it's the cool kid. It loses 2 points because I know there's a sinister inside. So
you
I'm
know.
Fully
not
think,
you know.
No, I know. I know what I'm doing.
I'm not Maura. David, how did you score?
Ten.
David loves a cool cat.
I love a cool cat. What can I say? I mean, they're the greatest. They are epic. They're, like I said, they'll always be with us. The flamingo, it's iconic. Flamingo, everyone knows it. Kids, grandparents, everyone knows a flamingo. The color, no one's doing it.
No one is doing it.
And no one can.
No one can.
Why would you even try? The flamingo did this. The legs, everything the flamingo does, no one else is doing it well. Pigeons do that leg thing.
I really like that reason. It's such a unique animal. That is very true.
It's got it's a signature. It's got a real signature to it.
Yeah.
And it's got a silhouette. I love that.
It does. It is a very pretty animal.
It's one of the greats.
Yeah.
Flamingo. So I'm giving it an absolute 10.
One.
Respect.
So that gives
even though it is sinister, of course it's got sinister. But you know.
What happens?
David quite likes that.
You can't. I like a bit of sinister. A little darkness.
So. That gives the flamingo a score of 26. The Sydney funnel web spider.
Minus 10.
You can't give minus.
Minus
10.
No.
Wow.
Oh, no, minus 10.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep it as a zero.
I'm going zero as well. Fuck the spider, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sydney funnel. Well, I gave it, you guys are going to judge me. I gave it an 8, but purely because it's the top. It's the most venomous species of spider. It's
talk about sinister, right?
Okay, the last one, the fin whale.
10.
I gave it an 8.
I'll give it an 8. Also a great. Also a classic.
That means we've got a tie of the first time it's ever happened on Into the Wild with flamingo and the fin whale tied at 26. So we'll have joint winners. Both of them. So I feel like the poor funnel web. So we'll share lots of information about flamingos and the fin whale and jack shit about the funnel web spider. I'm never going to talk about that again. I was so excited that I thought, oh, I've got a cool spider to talk about. They're quite interested. I didn't look at the images.
You know, your listeners may agree with you. They may disagree with us. We shall see.
But that's the point of having my guests, is to see if it's just in my head or if everyone loves.
I understand, the coolness of spiders. I get that.
Can you ask your daughter's opinion on the funnel web spider?
Okay, I'll
and then we'll that. Use that score.
Okay. I will.
Thank you so much for coming on to the episode, guys. It's been
so
lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
You got anything, Esther, do you want to throw out your social medias and anything that anyone wants to...
Just at Esther Melito on it all.
David, would you like to throw out your socials?
It's David Mills Department, so David Mills DEPT, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. Or you can check out my podcast, Focus People.
Yes,
and
very
Focus
good
People
podcast.
Pod at Focus People Pod on Twitter. And it's on all the various podcast channels. And then I've got previews of my new show. When is this coming out?
This Friday.
This Friday. So Friday at the Camden Comedy Club at 6:45. There, come and see. Totally finished. Totally worked.
Guys,
totally
it's January. Polished. There's no such thing as a finished show.
This Friday at 6:45.
It's this Wednesday at 6:45 at the Bill Murray, and then 6:30, I think. And,
cool. And you can also follow Into the Wild on Instagram and Twitter, Into the Wild Pod, and search for us on iTunes and Podbean if you're not an Apple user. And please leave us a review, ask any questions, share us, subscribe, do all that. And I'll be back next week with a brand new episode with new guests and new animals. Thank you very much. See you later.